I have a message for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. A message simply entitled, Surprised by the Spirit. Surprised by the Spirit. I think every now and again the Holy Spirit wants simply to surprise us. He wants to take us from one point in life to another point in life without there being any apparent intermission. Just bringing us from one stage of life to another stage of life without there being any ordinary timetable or process. Usually when God works in our life, there is a definite traceable process. We could say, I remember such and such amount of time ago, it used to be like this, but then God did this and God did that and God did the other thing. And over the course of a certain amount of months or days or years, such and such was the case, ultimately speaking. But there are other times when God simply surprises us. And there is no discernible intermediate stage. It just happens. And if you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, we will look at an incident of such an pattern or an occasion of the Lord's work. I want you to consider with me the upper room in the book of Acts. Very familiar portion of scripture. We're basically going to look at Acts from around the first chapter to around the fifth. And we're just going to jump around in there and find out what the Lord is saying to us this afternoon. Consider the upper room and consider the context of the upper room experience. The upper room was a place, we don't know exactly where it was. Some people believe that it was a room in the temple. Some people believe it was someone's personal quarters where a certain group of people gathered to pray, particularly those disciples of Jesus Christ. About 50 days after his death and resurrection, a few people, 120 by number, gathered together to pray. Now, we know the set of circumstances that surrounded the lives of this 120. We know that they had suffered great bereavement. Their Savior died. And even though he was raised from the grave, and even though he proved himself to them over a span of about 40 days, they knew that the relationship that they had with him, at least from their perspective at that time, would never be what it was. It would never be as good as they expected it to be. It's a picture of someone who had a wonderful experience in their early days with Jesus, but because of his own wisdom and based upon his own plan in their life, he lifted, as it were, himself from them for a certain amount of time. Now, they didn't know what was going to happen in a few days. They heard Jesus make some promises, but the difficulty of the circumstance, the hardship of the time, the bereavement that was on their life was so much that even though Jesus made some promises to them, saying that on a certain level he would return to them, they really couldn't grasp it. You see, that happened in the early stages. Even when Mary Magdalene saw Jesus after his resurrection, she wanted to simply cling to him because the last thing that she wanted was for him to be lifted up and to have to separate from him. You also recognize that the disciples were asking certain questions like, are you going to restore the kingdom of God to Israel once again? Are you going to bring Israel back to its place of prominence? Because there were things that they were expecting. You remember the disciples on the Emmaus Road, one of their big questions was, we thought that he would be like such and such, and we thought that he would do so and so, because they had the messianic hope, and they were wondering whether or not this was the one that they should have expected. You even saw that in John the Baptist in an earlier stage. Are you the one that that should come, or should we look for another? And so at this particular stage in their life, they had gone from a place of hope, and some of the hope we must acknowledge was misdirected and misappropriated and misunderstood, but they had a kind of hope that Jesus did not and would not and was never intending to live up to. He had his own hope that he wanted to invest in their heart, his own hope that he wanted to place in their bosom so that they could learn how to hope according to his promise and not according to some tradition that had been developed over a certain amount of years. The point is, they were in a place where they thought he was going to do such and such a thing. They had gotten used to a certain kind, a level of communion. He promised that it would actually get better, but for a little bit of time, there would be some times of difficulty. And now they also have to remind themselves that during those times of difficulty, they scattered and they ran. They said, each one of them, the Bible talks about Peter as prominently saying it, but for the most part, everyone said, we will never leave you. No matter how bad the times get, no matter how tough the goings get, we are never going to leave you. We will go with you all the way to the cross. But when the difficulty came down, they found that there was no power in them, no matter how good their intentions were, no matter how serious they were when they made the promises, there was no power in them to overcome their fears and to overcome the dread that had been instilled in them from the time that they were in the womb. That is the fear of death. They had no capacity to override it. And so here they are in this upper room. This is not an ordinary prayer meeting. This is a meeting for people who acknowledge that they have failed the Lord. And who people who feel sometimes somewhere in the back of their mind, even though they don't want to admit it, that God has failed them on some level or another. And as far as their messianic hope goes, no, God didn't fulfill the promises that they had put in his mouth and that they expected him to somehow be obligated to honor. No, he didn't do that. And so from their perspective, they were thinking, we thought you were going to restore the kingdom, and we thought that you were going to do this, and we thought that you were going to do that. So here they are in this prayer meeting. They feel like they're failures. They feel like God has failed them, even though they saw him in resurrection glory. They're in this prayer meeting and they're lifting up their prayers because, you know, some people suggest that that particular prayer meeting was something that would be commonly done on the night before Pentecost because it was part of their tradition. They would have an all-night prayer meeting on that particular day. And so some people think that they might have been there specifically for ritualistic purposes. It was just a part of their tradition. Other people think that they were there because they were afraid. They had nowhere else to go. We know the scripture suggests that there were times when they would lock themselves up in a room because they were afraid that the same people who murdered their Jesus was going to murder them. And there was no doubt that they were somewhere on that list of most wanted. There were people who wanted them dead. There was no question about that. And so they were in this room filled with doubt, filled with fear, filled with worry, trying to figure out why their life is not like it used to be and why it's not like what they thought God promised them that it would be. And this is where they find themselves, probably asking themselves, where do I go from here? And what is the process from this point to that point? What steps can I take? And who knows, maybe with 120 people, there might have been a handful of people that decided that they were going to lift themselves up and they were going to be leaders. And they might have even gotten some sort of procedure down. They might have gotten some sort of process in their minds and decided that here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to do this. Then we're going to do that. Then we're going to do the other thing. And maybe they had a certain amount of steps toward this and a certain amount of steps toward that. And if we just maybe we just pray here hard enough, or maybe we elect another leader who will take the place of Jesus, not somebody who will teach others how to worship Jesus, but maybe somebody else. Jesus tried and so on and so forth. Maybe it's time to lift somebody else up. We don't know exactly what was going on in there. We only know what happens in many of our committee meetings when people are tired of Jesus not fulfilling their promises that they've placed in his mouth, and what happens when people get a little bit tired of the persecution that comes from the society, or maybe when they get a little bit tired of their own capacity or propensity to fail him, and they decide that, you know what, look, we've been waiting for the Holy Ghost for a little while, let's do what we need to do to get it right. If we need to have a group of people who decide that they're going to from now on follow this rule and that rule and the other, another rule, or maybe we need to raise up some leader who's going to lead us, because as for this Moses, we don't know what's become of him, or whatever the case might be. We only know that in our circles, we've seen this over and over again, so there's a slight possibility, I would say even a certain degree of probability, that in those days, there were some people who were wondering, what do we do now? And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit surprised them. Probably right in the midst of their developing a program, probably right in the middle of them having, you know, just jotting down some things in their Christian journal about how they're going to make it all right, about how they're going to stop doing this and start doing that, and they're going to pray 12 hours a day, and they're going to fast 17 days a week, and so on and so forth. You know how it goes. And they have this process all worked out, and somewhere along the line, just because he's God, just because he's good, just because he's gracious, just because he wants to, the Holy Spirit simply comes and surprises us. And the Bible says that when they were in this place of prayer, in this place of failure, in this place of frustration, in this place of fright, that the Holy Spirit suddenly began to shake the place where they were. It said that there was a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. And it said that there were tongues of fire that stood over each of their heads. Now I can imagine how cold they might have been at that time. I can imagine how all of their zeal had dissipated, and how all of their earthly and fleshly fire had been challenged and had been all but blown out. All of their promises, all of their zeal, all of their, I'm going to do this from now on, and I'm going to be that from now on. You know how it is sometimes, you're listening to a sermon, and halfway between that sermon, you're already planning on how many days you're going to fast, and how many scriptures you're going to read, and things like that. And I can imagine, God could have said, you know what, to be honest with you, they got enough fire, they don't need me. They got enough zeal and enough fervency for themselves. They don't need me. They don't need this fire. But God in his grace, every now and again, he just comes and surprises his people and says to us, I don't really need your fire right now. And I'm not concerned about whether you are hot or whether you are cold right now. Because there is something that God is going to do simply because he's God. Not because of any goodness of our own or any strength of our own or any intentions of our own or any programs of our own, but simply because he's God. And the Bible says that suddenly there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And there were cloven tongues of fire that danced over their heads. Each one of them, it didn't matter how this one was doing or how that one was doing. It didn't matter how long this one had been in church or how long that one had been. It didn't matter whether or not this one had been fasting or that one had been praying. Everybody that was in that room, hallelujah, the Spirit of God came upon them. He didn't ask, how spiritual are you? He said, I am your spirituality. And there was cloven tongues of fire over every single one. The Bible says that they all began to speak with other tongues. All of a sudden, the same ones who were afraid to speak, the same ones who were hiding behind closed doors, Because Jesus wasn't to them what they thought he ought to be, and they weren't to him what they thought they ought to be. All of a sudden, every single one of them who had closed their mouths because maybe they thought that they didn't have the right to speak, or maybe they thought nobody would understand them. Maybe they thought that Jesus was not going to move in them the way he did in the past, or whatever the case might be. Maybe they thought they had so failed him that they had nothing. I don't know what the situation was. I only know this, that God simply came in and surprised them. There was no process. They didn't go through a stage where they all said, "Oh, I am so sorry that I fled in the darkness whenever the Messiah was being taken in chains." They didn't say things like that, I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters. And they didn't set up some program where they could appease God and make everything all right. Maybe if I pray this long and I read this long and I fast this long and I give this much, then God will be all right with the fact that I failed him. No, they didn't have any time to do that. Not to say that any of that would have done any good. They simply found themselves in a place of humility. Found themselves in a place where they knew they couldn't save themselves. Found themselves in a place where they understood that they had put some words in God's mouth that they should not have, and hoped in some things that he had never taught them to hope in. Stopped and looked at themselves and realized that any time the darkness comes that thick, if they depend upon themselves, they're going to flee, not away from it, but into it, according to what we saw in the Holy Scriptures. They fled into the darkness. And they realized that they had no strength in themselves. And they simply prayed. Bible doesn't tell us what they prayed. Doesn't tell us how eloquent their prayers were. Doesn't tell us how long they prayed. Doesn't tell us whether or not they had this sort of a prayer vigil, prayer program going on, so that this person prays and then that person prays and the other person prays until they develop some sort of momentum and they develop some sort of fervency and they develop some sort of zeal. The Bible doesn't tell us how zealous their prayers were. Doesn't tell us whether or not they shouted or whether or not they wept. The Bible doesn't tell us any of that. It only says that Jesus told them, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high." And so they found themselves in a room and they said, in essence, "There's nothing else that I can do." Hallelujah. There's no process. There's no program. If God doesn't come, we have no hope. And they began to pray. And the Holy Spirit came upon them indiscriminately. Every person that was there was blessed. Every person that showed up got filled. There was no one who was in that room that was left out. Every person that showed up was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they began to speak with other tongues, and these same people who were hidden behind closed doors, all of a sudden the doors burst open. And they found that they had something to say to their generation. They found that they had something to say to somebody. And it might be so that some of them were told, because the Bible says that they were both men and women, their sons and daughters, to prophesy and to dream dreams, the young and the old. And some people might have said to them in their past, "You're too young, you don't know enough about life to say anything." And another, "You're too old and life has passed you by, and all of the things that you believe are antiquated and outdated." They might have said to the woman, "Go back to the kitchen," and to the man, "You don't have any education, we don't know. We only know that when the Holy Spirit came upon that community, that everyone was moved with the power of God. There was no one left out. There was no one without a voice. There was no one without something to say." And the Bible says that they began to speak with other tongues. They began to speak in such a way, the Bible suggests, that there was no nation, no people, no kindred, no tribe that was not affected by their message, that was not privy to their truth. Somebody was speaking to somebody else on that day, and nobody was left out. Everybody that was on this side had a word, and everybody that was on that side had an ear. And God began to move in a miraculous way. Not because they had worked it up, but because he simply chose to surprise them. And then we go into the third chapter and we hear of two of these particular people who had been surprised by the Spirit. Again, going up to the temple and again, going up to pray. And again, it was just the hour of prayer. They were just going to church. They didn't know what was going to happen there. They were simply being obedient, simply doing what they felt they ought to be doing. If it was in our time, it would have been a bright Sunday morning. And they would have gotten in their car or on the bus or on the train or on their bike or on their feet, and they would have gone over to church just because it was the thing to do, or just because they wanted to meet with God. But the Bible says, again, the Holy Spirit chose to surprise them. Because there was a man who had been brought to that place time after time, day after day, probably year after year, to ask alms, to ask for a few dollars, so that he could go on in his existence. And people would probably give him a couple of dollars every now and again. They'd see him throw a couple of coins in his cup or whatever the case. But on this particular day, Peter and John were moved by the Holy Spirit. They probably passed by that man over and over again. They probably knew him by name. We don't know. They probably knew him by face. I'm sure that they did. They had seen him over and over again. They probably walked through that place with Jesus a couple of times and wonder why Jesus didn't stretch forth his hand and heal him. Because it wasn't in that particular aspect of Christ's ministry at that particular time, anything that he was looking to do. He already knew what he was going to do. But now, the Holy Spirit was moving in these two men. And they felt like the Holy Spirit was looking to surprise them and to surprise this man and to surprise that entire community. Every now and again, you'll be walking down the street and the same things that you always see will be there. The same people that you always see will be there. But at a certain stage, the Holy Spirit will move on you and say, stop and take a second look. So they stopped simply because the Holy Spirit was moving on them to stop. And they felt, I believe, the power of God upon them. And they said to that man, look at me. Too many times as Christians, we feel like we can excuse ourselves from the miraculous and excuse ourselves from the extraordinary and even excuse ourselves from our testimony in this society by saying, don't look at me, look at Jesus. There's nothing like that in the Bible. The Bible says, follow me as I follow Jesus. And they said, look at me. Why? Because they were looking at Jesus. And they said to that man, I don't have any money right now. They took him by his right hand and they said, get up and walk. Now, can you imagine the surprise on everybody? It's not just on this man who's all of a sudden somebody who might have seen them day after day. So somebody who might have put money in their cup time after time snatches him up by his hand and said, get up. and walk. The surprise that must have been in their own heart, because they probably did not expect that that would happen. They probably thought, I'll go into the house of worship, I'll have some time of prayer, I'll come out refreshed. They never thought that they would change somebody's life. They probably said, I had a hard week, and it's Sunday, and I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to say God bless you to a couple people, and I'm going to get refreshed so that I can keep on keeping on. They probably never knew that somebody's life was going to be changed forever. Because the Bible said that this man got up and began to leap and dance and rejoice and found himself following them into the house of the Lord and giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to surprise us and say to us, I haven't forgotten you. Even though I'm fulfilling my will in your life a little different than the promises that you had expected me to honor. No, no, no. He said, I will always honor everything that comes from my mouth, but in my time and in my way. But he's under no obligation to honor the things that we try to stuff into his mouth. He said, I haven't forgotten you, and I'm going to use you. When we go on in the text, we find out that there was a time, because of all of these things and all of the people that were brought into the kingdom, the Bible says that by the time that they had done these things, there were about 5,000 people that were seeking God. Between that day of Pentecost and this particular incident, and of course that brought about a great deal of persecution. All of a sudden, people started looking at them funny and treating them mean. And they went a little bit further in those days, and they would throw them into prison and they would beat them and things of that nature. And once again, the Holy Spirit surprised them. Because in the midst of all of the persecution, all of the lies that were thrown against them, all of the people trying to cast them out and cast them off and all of those things, the Bible says that they came upon them a holy boldness. The Bible said at one point they began to pray because of the persecution that was coming on them, and the house began to be shaken where they were. The earth began to quake under the weight of their prayers. And under the weight of the faithfulness of the God to whom they prayed. The Bible says that they began to speak with boldness. And Peter began to preach things that he probably never thought that he would preach, knowing what would happen if he persisted. A Holy Ghost boldness that comes upon any person that chooses to say what God says to say and do what God says to do and live how God says to live and go where God says to go. The power of God coming upon these people. Peter knew what it was to faint, if you will, under the weight of men's gaze and under the fear of man. He knows in his heart what it is to deny his Savior because of his fear of death. And now all of a sudden, he's saying things to people. And he's saying things in places where he recognizes that there is a certain degree of danger. But people are coming to him from every circle and saying to him, how is this possible? And what's going on? And what is this hope that you have? And how is it that through your prayers, the sick are being healed again? And how is it that through your preaching, lives are being touched again? And how is it that through your obligation to your Savior, souls are being saved again? How is it that the generation is changing because of your obedience? And this man felt an obligation to answer those questions and to address those issues and to bear witness to the name of the Savior and to give glory to God. And he began to speak, even though he might have been at one point a man who was known for saying things that he shouldn't say, speaking out of turn or this, that, and the other. Now all of a sudden, God has got a hold of him. God is beginning to surprise him. And the things that ordinarily would come out of his mouth, now he's looking and he's watching. It's as though he can see the words coming out of his mouth. And he's thinking to himself, that's not me. That's not the way I used to use my gift of speech. I used to be, he might have said, I don't know if he would have said this, but he might have said, I used to be the kind of person who murmurs and complains a little bit, the kind of person who gossips a little taste. But I think as God began to surprise him, to come upon him in majesty and in power, he began to say things that he never thought that he would say. He began to give glory to God in a way that he never thought that he would do again. You might have found him in the early stages as Jesus was walking with him and he felt that boldness, and he might have said some things because Jesus was standing right there and he felt like he could say it, and if anybody got mad at him, he just ducked behind Jesus. You know what I mean? But now there's been some days of difficulty and hardship, and it's been a while since he's won anybody to Christ. There's been some pain and there's been some shame, and maybe he thinks, I've denied the Lord one time too many, or whatever the case might be, or I did this one thing, or I did that one thing, or I said this, or I said that, or again, he might have said, I thought God was going to do it this way and that way, but it didn't happen, and he's been a bit silent lately. He hasn't been talking about Jesus very much to his friends and neighbors, and they've been asking. I'm not talking about forcing ideas on people who don't care. I'm talking about people when they ask because they see things in you. And he said, it's been a while since I've been speaking. And he says, well, maybe I'll go to a nice evangelism class and step by step, by this process and by that process. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just chooses to surprise him. And he finds himself speaking things that he thought he'd never speak again. Reaching out with a zeal that he thought was long since past its prime. And he might have said, well, we'll just leave that to the young people's ministry because they're still young and they haven't tasted enough of life to realize that these things just don't work the way that we think that they do. But they came upon him. The power of the Holy Spirit. And God began to cause him once again to speak the word of God with boldness, even in the face of persecution, even in the face of ridicule, even in the face of ostracism, where folks are like, look, you don't fit in our circles. You're just talking too much about Jesus. Sometimes you get that not only in your job and in your school. Sometimes you even get that in church. Not in this church, but I'm just saying every now and again, that church across the street, you know what I'm talking about. Where somebody will say, we already got some preachers here, right? You don't need to be preaching too, right? You know what I'm talking about? It ain't Sunday. They catch you on Monday every now and again. And, you call them on the phone and stuff. You start talking about Jesus. Hey, hey, hey. We just had 8 hours of church yesterday. This ain't Sunday. we'll catch you on Tuesday, right? Because God has given you a word. And God has given you a zeal. And you just want to talk about Jesus. You just want to give him glory. You just want to honor him. Because somewhere along the line, God surprised you. And he laid his hand on your heart and got you excited about him again. Causing you to praise him and worship him and honor him and love him. My brothers and my sisters, the Holy Spirit is in this house today. And he wants to surprise us. He wants to surprise us by reminding us that we are His people, that we have something to say to this generation. He wants to surprise us by working signs and wonders and working healings and doing all of the things that this holy book causes us to believe in. If it's in this book, my brothers and sisters, you ought to hope in it. If God said that He would do it, He will do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God has spoken to me, and I want to tell you what He said. Very simple, and then we're going to pray. He says, there are people in this room who are believing me, but they're believing me for alms. They're at the beautiful gate, but now I'm wanting them to come into the temple. He said, they're asking for alms, but I want to heal them. They're saying, God, it's the day that I usually come, and I usually stretch out my hand, and You usually give me a certain blessing. And God says, I love the fact that they come to my gate. I love the fact that they trust me. He said, but I want to surprise them today. I want to heal them today. I want to give them a testimony today. I want to cause them to leap and dance in my house again, as this man was able to do. I want to lift up the heavy burden and place my easy burden upon their heart. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You've been praying today. There are times when I will speak statistically and I'll say there's somebody in this house who's been hurting and so on and so forth, because I know that there's a high level of probability with a couple thousand people. There's probably a handful of people who are going through a particular thing. I'm not speaking statistically today. I'm speaking prophetically. I know, because I've heard from God, that there's somebody in this room that God is going to surprise. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there is the Spirit of God to be healed, and there is faith to be healed today. And I believe, my brothers and my sisters, we're going to pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is going to bring every promise that He's made to you to fruition. He's going to glorify His name. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. He's going to glorify His name. Let's all stand together. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God is speaking to you, God is saying to you, I want to surprise you today. The things that you've been dealing with, and you've been thinking it's going to be a long process before this thing is finally dealt with, I'm telling you today, as Pastor David said not too long ago, the waters have been troubled. Now God is saying, just step into it. If you've been thinking, oh, well, it's going to have to take this and that, and there's going to be this process and that process, I'm telling you, there is such a thing as process in the body of Christ. I preach on it all the time. I believe in it. But I'm saying today, there is something special happening. The Spirit of God is in this house, and the power of prayer is in this house, and faith is in this house. If God is speaking to you, begin to come to the front of this congregation. We're going to pray together. We're going to believe God. God is going to surprise you. He is going to surprise you today. He's going to cause His name and His praise to be glorious in your life. He's going to do the things that He's been promising you. Miraculously, God is going to move. If you need physical healing, come. Emotional healing, come. Financial healing, come. Relational healing, come. God is in the house today to glorify His name. This is a unique time, my brothers and my sisters. God is going to surprise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. This is a glorious day in God's house. Hallelujah. Because God is looking to be glorified in this house. God is looking to see His name praised. Today, God is here to surprise all of us. to say to us, right now, I am going to do things in your life that I have promised you, and there will be such a sign in this generation, and men and women will know that there is God in heaven because of the way that he treats his saints, because of the way that he treats his people. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I pray with my brothers and my sisters. Lord, we believe you for great things today. We know that there are times that you will work through a process. We know that there are times when you will use various people and various means. But God, we also know that there are times for miracles. There are times when God will simply stretch forth his hand and surprise us. Times when God will simply choose to glorify his name and to bless his name and to cause his name to be a praise in the earth again. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe you for great signs and wonders again, oh God, for healings again, oh God, for strength in marriages again, for strength in finances again, for strength in body and in emotions again, oh God. Lord, we believe you to work great signs and wonders again in this time. Lord, all of the things that you have promised us and the things, oh Jesus, that become too heavy for us, we lay it in your hands right now. We can't do anything in our own strength. We lay it in your hands. All of the things that worry us, we lay it in your hands. All of the things that seem to overwhelm us, we lay it in your hands, oh God, oh God, oh God. There's nothing we can do. There's no strength in our own hand. And so we tarry as in the day of Pentecost, and we say, God, be glorified in the midst. Be glorified. God, we believe you for great signs and wonders. We believe you for mighty healings. We believe you for wonderful testimonies. God, we believe you to take away the heavy burden. Because you said your burden is light, oh God. Your yoke is easy. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, in that great and holy name, we believe that this is a beginning of days. Hallelujah! And that miraculously you will bring victory. And you will lift up testimony after testimony. You will cause your name to be lifted up once again in this generation. God, we believe you for great signs and wonders. For healings and for all kinds of victory. We come against every lie of Satan. We come against every lie of the devil that would try to tell us that we must be under some unnatural burden. God, in Jesus' name, we receive the fullness of your promise. We intend to be surprised by the Holy Spirit. We open ourselves to great things in this generation. We believe you for mighty signs and wonders. Let the world wonder again about the glory of Israel. Let the world wonder again about the Savior of the church. God, cause your praise to go forth now. Cause your name to be lifted up and glorified. Surprise us, Holy Spirit, for your name's sake, for your glory. Hallelujah.